लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today I have an actor. It took a bit time to get him to a chat, but he entered the vertical space a little bit later than I did. And I saw a first vertical with him. I think it's called Please Marry My Husband or something like that. And I'm very happy that it finally happens, and I say hello to Ben Whalen. Welcome to my podcast, Ben.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
What was the title of this one?
I did one very early on. I think it was called Please Marry My Husband.
Please Marry My Husband, something like that, wasn't it? Yeah.
Exclamation point.
I don't know. So exactly, to be honest, I'm not so good in the title ones. But this was a title I was so, huh? What? Please Marry My Husband? Okay. Sounds a bit weird. And it was one of the first one I saw, because I started watching verticals in late 2023. And I think this one dropped in the first few months of 2024, I think.
Yes. Yeah. We shot it in January of 2024. Yeah.
Yeah. Was this your opening door to the vertical space?
Yeah, it was not the first one I'd done, but it was the first sort of bigger role that I had in it. So yeah, I got to kind of see what verticals were like, you know, day in and day out.
When did you do your first one?
I believe it was October of 2023. But I had just a very small day player role, so just like one line type of role.
What was it? With which genre you started? A werewolf one, a classic CEO billionaire one, or what was it?
It was a werewolf one, and I had never done one before and didn't get the script prior to the day of shooting. So I showed up and I was like, whoa, what is going on here? You know, I was in for a real surprise. I don't remember the title. I've like looked for it or tried to figure out based on, was it this actor? But I was there. I was in and out so quickly. I didn't really, you know, get to hang out with anybody that much. So I don't know how to trace that one back, but there's one I did. And, you know, that's
a kind of weird one. Alpha, CEO, alpha, mate, beta, omega.
Yeah.
What the
and
heck?
Because it was my initial introduction into it, I didn't know it was going to be werewolves or anything. And I was like, what is going on here?
What I have to do? Okay, I say my line and then I'm out. I spoke, for with Caitlin Peluso, and her first one was also werewolf one, where she had to play a dead person. And she told me it was also a day player role. And she told me I was laying dead on the ground and everyone talked about around me. Yeah, you are my favorite mate and the beta and the alpha and you have to rescue my pack. And she said my thoughts were, what the heck I'm into. And then it took nearly 4 or 5 months until she got back to the verticals, because she thought that's so weird. I'm not sure if I want to do this again.
I guess I can say that I had a similar experience to Brittany. So it was maybe 3 or 4 months, and then Please Marry My Husband came about, and the character was a little bit more grounded, realistic. It was a businessman instead of a werewolf, which, I know people love them, so I have nothing against them. It's just not my cup of tea, and I don't end up doing a ton of them, not even just based on my own thing. I just don't get booked too often as the werewolf pack leader. So
But haven't you done any beta roles also?
I did one with I believe it was Good Short. It's called The Lycan Queen Returns. And yeah, I played the most powerful beta, and I was like, wouldn't that just make them an alpha? But yeah, I played like a warlord that held stuff down for the Lycan Queen. I was kind of her right-hand man, advisor, general, etc.
In how many verticals you have to have worn a suit? Nearly in everyone? Because every time I see you in a vertical, you are wearing a suit.
Yeah, I'm always in a suit. Every once in a while, I'll have a cool sweater like that. This actually I bought from one of the wardrobe people in China, because I was like, this is so comfy. And it was cold today in LA, so felt like a good sweater day. But yeah, it's mostly suits. I'm mostly playing a businessman, and it's kind of funny that culturally, the writers think that wealthy people always wear a three-piece suit, when it's like, if you look at most media, the wealthiest people are wearing t-shirts and the most
Yeah.
comfortable clothing possible. So yeah, this is interesting, but yeah, I'm suited up most of the time, and it's nice. I get to wear some really cool suits, so I do
Are
enjoy
you
that
the
aspect.
suit person in private? Do you have a lot of suits?
I
Are
do
you?
enjoy wearing a suit, but especially here in LA, there's not a ton of times where it really is appropriate, if that makes
Okay.
sense.
Yeah.
So anytime there's a wedding or an engagement party or something where some kind of formal event, I love to wear a suit. But in my daily life, no.
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 So, how many verticals have you done so far? Do you know that?
So I think the count is about to be 40. I'm scheduled to do one in mid-March, which I believe would be my 40th. But IMDb has me at like 32 or 33. But I know there's at least three that I did in China that aren't on there, and I think there's a few more that are missing. I just can't remember which ones. So I just, a lot. I've done a lot, I guess.
Did you do also some horizontal stuff also in the last year, or wasn't there t any time left for doing other thing?
Yeah, I mean, I always try to make some time for film and TV type stuff, because it's just a different experience. Sometimes you have a little bit more time to dig into a character or a scene. You might have the script for longer, you get more takes. There's a little bit more of an emphasis on really nailing a scene rather than, okay, we got it, it's good enough, we gotta, keep moving. So I always try to carve out some space for that. So yeah, last year I did a TV show, and the year before I did a TV show and a feature. I did a USC thesis film, which was a really cool experience. And coming up next week, I'm part of a feature film that's being produced here in LA. So I try to make sure I would love a little bit more of a balance, doing even more of that stuff. But it's nice to do it when I can. And I think, I'm so thankful for verticals just for the consistency. Because if I were only to rely on film and TV stuff, I'd only do 3 or 4 or 5 projects a year. Whereas with verticals, I've basically been doing about 20 a year.
Last year, you got your first booking from China, and when I saw, I knew that you were hoping so long for getting booked in China. I know that because I saw that sometimes in your storylines. And when I saw, I think you posted a story sitting in the car on somewhere arrived in China or stuff like that. And I thought, oh, heck yeah, finally he got the chance. So what were your impressions of your first trip to China?
Well, I appreciate that. First of all, thank you for support. I really wanted the life experience. The farthest into Asia I'd been was the east part of Turkey, like in Istanbul, which, is technically on the Asian continent. So I just really wanted to go have that life experience, and I'd heard kind of mixed reviews from people who had done it, but I just had a feeling that I was going to go and have a great time doing it. And I did. My first project, it was a really great company. They're called Mezo Entertainment. They are based out of Melbourne, but the entire team is Chinese born. So they did a co-production with a Chinese-based production company. And I just felt they treated us really well, from the moment they picked us up at the airport. It was just constantly, looking after us. You need something to eat, you need something to drink, you need, just, making sure that we were well taken care of. And the project was really fun. The script was pretty good. So
Do you know the title, what the title was of this one? I think it's already out, isn't it?
it is already out, and it was on a bunch of different platforms, but I'm right now I can't remember specifically, but the title is After a One Night Stand, I Was Targeted by My Boss. Because they had to make a nice story. It's a very interesting title. It makes it sound kind of predatory, which I guess it borders on, but the character's actually a pretty nice guy and like really just likes this girl. But I got to do some really cool fight sequences with some stunt actors, some Chinese stunt actors, and had to learn it super quick, but it was a pretty complicated fight scene that we got to do. So it's cool. I love doing stuff like that. So that was really fun. And I noticed being there, we touched on this a little earlier, that there's so much in common. It's not that different of an experience, a film set in the US versus a film set in China. There's some cultural differences, and of course, even from New York to LA. But at the end of the day, being on set is a really kind of universal thing where everybody's job and everybody's purpose for being there is similar no matter where you are. So I noticed that certain departments or positions within a film set, it's almost like the American version and the Chinese version have more in common with each other. Like a DP that's born and raised in America, speaks English, has more in common with a Chinese DP that was born in China and speaks Mandarin than they do with, an insurance salesman from America. Like there's these certain personality types that I think gravitate towards certain jobs in the entertainment industry and in filmmaking. So even, sometimes I would see Chinese actors and they would seemed more like us than the rest of the Chinese crew. It just was a really interesting experience to see how interrelated, and how universal filmmaking is.
I spoke to some actors and they told me, which were all who are also filming in China, and they told me that one big difference is that their shooting days are longer in China. Have you your shooting days also be around about 16 hours?
Yeah, I think that's more common in China. And I think the biggest reason is because in LA with, stricter labor laws and stuff like that, if once you go into overtime, you don't not only have to pay the actors, but you have to pay everyone in the crew. And that each hour can be very expensive for a production if you're filming somewhere like in LA or New York. So I believe in China, they get kind of a day rate where it's set for the crew, the Chinese-based crew. So even if the actors are making overtime money, it's not adding so much to the production's overall cost. So it makes more sense for them to just stay longer and make sure they get the shots. Whereas in LA, a lot of times, there's not really an option for overtime, or if there is, it's very minimal. So it just kind of comes from an economic reasoning, I think.
Now you have been lately for the second time in China. Have you been at the same place like you did in the first time, or were you something else, somewhere else?
Yeah, so I would love to shoot in some of the other cities, but yeah, both times I've been there, I've been filming in Hengdian, which is they kind of call it the Chinese Hollywood. It's an entire town that's really predominantly studios and look like spaces for filmmaking. So they have some giant studios where one floor might be a hospital set, and one floor is a hotel set, and one floor is luxury apartments. And so within one space, you can film a bunch of different locations for your show. And I think it's the city had this revitalization about 10 years ago, but I think with verticals, it's even more is work and money are flooding to that area to to provide accommodations and locations for the vertical productions. So I've been there for all, it was two separate trips, but three projects total. And it was funny, the most recent time there, I had just wrapped my final project, so I was done and gonna be flying out the next day or so. And I walked downstairs and I saw this guy I know from LA, and I was like, what are you, I knew he was in China, but I didn't know he was literally downstairs. So it was just a really interesting experience. It's kind of random to run into somebody in the middle of China,
Who you run in Lu no Lu Lucas?
His name is Luca Silva.
Yeah, I know him. I already
Yeah.
recorded with him. So you were at the same time in China at the same place,
And
but in
we had
different
played
verticals?
brothers. Two different, yeah, exactly. Two different
Okay.
verticals. We had played brothers before and stayed in touch. And I had seen that he was in China, so I just said hello. But I guess we didn't talk about where we were specifically. And it was so funny to run into him. So kind
The
of
world
random.
is, it's a, such a small world, isn't it?
It is, and it's getting smaller. Because right as we're talking, someone goes, "Hey, Ben," and it's a guy who I just was on the last shoot I was on. So it was weird to have multiple friends run into multiple friends in this kind of small city in China, but that seems to be where a lot of them take place. I know Qingdao is a popular area for filming as well, so I'd love to shoot there. But what I've done is each time after I wrap on a project in China, I ask for them to, not fly me back immediately, so that I can go visit a little bit. So I got to see Shanghai, which I really loved, and had a great experience there. And then this most recent trip, I went and visited Hong Kong for a few days and really loved that city. It was easier to navigate because everyone speaks English there. But very welcoming. I met some cool people right away. Great food, cool nightlife and music and stuff like that. I randomly was walking down the street right by my hotel, and there was an art gallery. So I just kind of popped in and ended up, getting this really nice treatment, getting to meet the artists, and we had a translator, so we were able to kind of have a conversation about his art and what it meant. And I was just like, oh, this is so cool. This is a really cool city.
Did you do some karaoke? Because Chinese people love karaoke.
I know. You know what? I have not. In all three of my trips, I have not done any karaoke. I'm not a huge karaoke person.
Just for
I'm
fun, Ben.
cool with, if that's your thing, I'll be there and support. But I don't have a great singing voice, and
That's the sense of karaoke.
that's kind of the point. I know, but I
You're a shy
guess you gotta get
guy
up.
or what?
Not really. I think you just probably got to get enough drinks in me, and then I'll go, all right, fuck it, let's do
Maybe then the
it.
pronunciation of my name would also fit.
Yeah, a couple German beers, a couple Pilsners, and then all of a sudden, Michelle.
Have you ever been in Germany?
I technically, yes,
On the
but not
Frankfurt
really.
Airport or what?
I Frankfurt Airport, but I left because I had a 8-hour, 9-hour layover. And I was actually on a production. I was shooting a film in Lithuania. This is years ago, maybe in 2013, 14. I was shooting a film in Lithuania, and me and the guy who was our stunt coordinator and trainer, who's a really cool guy, and the girl playing the lead actress, we got there, and I was like, "We're here for 9 hours. Like, we should go do something. At least go to like a pub and get like a Frankfurter, you know, something."
Okay.
So we went, yeah, we walked outside, we went to the train station, we went like one stop over and ended up at like a pub or a bar, and had some drinks, had some Jägermeister with the locals. So it was fun, but no,
It's
I haven't
not the real
completely.
Germany.
Yeah, that's what I said. Technically, yes, but not really.
Yeah, okay, I understand now what technically means. No, because a lot of US people I ask, have you ever been to Germany? Yeah, I were at the Oktoberfest. Huh. Okay. Good. I've never been to the Oktoberfest.
Yeah, I have my cousin, my sister, and brother-in-law. They've all been to Oktoberfest at least once. My cousin a couple times because they have a really close friend in Munich. So,
No, I've never been there. From here, it would only be a 2 hour drive, 2 hours drive by car, but I've never been there.
yeah,
Kind
I
of
mean, I would
weird.
love to visit Berlin. Yeah, it's
So,
definitely it's up there on my travel list of like places to visit.
China, where have you shot also verticals outside of LA?
New York. I've done four projects there.
Okay.
And then Atlanta. I did a project there, and that was a really great experience. It was a real short film, and they have sort of like an in-house production team down there, and the same team has worked together a lot of times, so they had things really dialed in. That was one of my favorite experiences on a vertical. I got to work with Nicole Maddox, who's amazing, like really, really talented and so cool, so much fun to be around. Like great energy on set. So like it was just a good time filming that, and I really enjoyed how the project turned out. It was called You Drive Me Crazy. That was a really fun one. I think it's about to hit 50 million views, which is cool.
You
So yeah, that was my
drive me
one Atlanta
crazy. Is
experience.
it on Real Short?
Yeah.
Wait,
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, check it
I
out. I
have
think
to
you might enjoy
check. I
it.
have to. No, you know, I'm really bad in the title stuff. You know, I watched more than 1,000 verticals since I started watching verticals. So if you say to me any title, I don't know, because mostly of the title are with a CEO, billionaire, or pregnant, or heiress, or.
Yeah, it gets confusing.
You know, so. Oh, I saw this one. I saw this one.
Yeah, that one was fun. And I have some family in Atlanta. So the way we shot it was like we worked Monday through Friday and we had the weekends off. And so during the weekends, I got to go just hang out with my cousins down there, which was great. I was awesome to be able to see them just kind of randomly. And then in New York, same thing. I have a lot of family there. So, you know, when
Do you
I'm
have
not
such a
working,
big family or what?
I do have a pretty big family, but we
That's
also just spread out a bit. But we're super close, so it's great. I
great.
usually, you know, stay at one of their places when I'm there. And
So
then just to finish up the question, there's a bunch happening in Istanbul, which I've been close but haven't had that experience yet. Vancouver is another one I've been, you know, kind of on the edge a few different times. But in a couple of weeks, I'm going to Kansas City, Missouri, which is, I guess, coming on, you know, sort of s starting to come online as
as a shooting
a hub
location.
for production,
But
sort of in the Midwest.
Istanbul, if you ever can go to Istanbul, because the
Yeah, I went
Istanbul
there.
shows were all released on Drama Pops and they were always so great in quality every time.
Yeah, I heard the experience there is great too. Just the onset experience is really top
Yeah,
notch out
I
there.
heard
I
that
went
a
there to
lot.
visit when I was when I was young, but or like 19 years old. And it was a beautiful city, really
Young.
cool. Well, younger than I am now.
Yeah, true, true. No, I spoke to a lot of people filming in Istanbul and Lithuania for Drama Pops, and they all told me it was so great in Istanbul because the team or the crew is a bigger, and it's more like a big family there the whole time. So, and every show I saw on Drama Pops is so great in post-production quality and the storyline also. You never see kind of this super classic trope shit, sorry for saying that in that way, but it is
Yeah.
on a Drama Pops show. It's so great. All the European shows are really good. If you watch any Ukraine vertical or my drama, mostly of them, they are also great in storyline and in the quality of the shooting. And lately, Danny Farber shot in the UK. I think it was for Good Short. Was it for Good Short? I think. And they're always great quality. And maybe Germany got lately the first casting calls for verticals I saw. Maybe in 2026, Germany will also come up.
Yeah, I mean, but like, how cool is that? That these things are happening in all these different places. You know, you can add to that list Mexico City. They're starting to shoot more often, and I heard Vietnam was there. It was happening more often, and they're
Yeah,
slowing
for
down a little bit
Igloo,
there.
yeah.
But I mean, it's truly an international kind of phenomenon, which is really cool. And as an
It's so
actor.
crazy when you hear about, you see it from the actor's side. I talked to a bunch of people from the audience side, based everywhere. For example, I also spoke to a post-production team in Vietnam. For the podcast, I recorded with a bunch of fans, one in Australia, one in Portugal, one in Canada, one everywhere. It's so crazy. It's really
Yeah,
crazy.
international sensation.
Do you think that's good or that's bad sometimes?
You know, I don't worry about it too much. It seems like people are enjoying them. People are getting some form of entertainment and comfort out of these things. I think part of the reason verticals have been successful, and or at least the relationship between fans and audience members and the actors and filmmakers involved is because it's mostly an online thing. There's more of a back and forth, and almost an availability or an approachability to the actors and the filmmakers involved in them. You know, it's not this completely separate thing of Hollywood or, you know, so I think the connection there has helped build it up to what it is. I think ultimately, you know, people they used to say you sort of vote for stuff with your money, but and that's still the case, but now it's also you vote for stuff with your time. And people are spending a lot of time and money watching these things. And so obviously there's providing some sort of value or something, or it wouldn't work. My concern, or the thing I do think about, not necessarily worry about, is I love a traditional experience of going to a movie theater and seeing a, you know, a 2-hour film with a bunch of other strangers, or with a bunch of friends and strangers. So I just really hope that experience doesn't go away. I try to, if I can, if I'm not too busy working or if I'm not out of the country or whatever, I try to go see a movie at least once a week. Sometimes that doesn't always happen, and sometimes there's nothing that's really pulling me to go see. But I do love that, you know, form of art, that art form of like feature films and television shows that are more the, I guess, traditional format for those things. So I just don't, it's not that I don't want verticals to flourish. I just don't want those things to be completely replaced, because I think they have a lot of value. You go see a cool, interesting movie about another culture and you understand a little bit more about life. And not saying that that's not possible with verticals, but yeah, I want to always stand up for film and TV as well.
So when you, okay, not the first one you did, but if you look back to one of the first ones you did and the latest, what has changed in this vertical stuff?
I think overall, everyone's a bit more dialed in. I think everybody has more experience doing these. Like for me, it's rare that I'll meet someone like in who's the costume designer and going, "Oh, this is my first vertical." Usually they've done a bunch already, and so that's the case across the board where most of the actors, the director, the producers, the camera department, the grip and electric, the production designer, we're all used to this format a bit more. And so we know we're working within a box, and the main box is that we have a limited amount of time to cover a lot of material. And so now knowing that that's kind of the challenge, I think everyone's gotten better at doing their best within that structure. So I've just seen, most sets I've been on, there's just been an elevation of what they're able to provide, what each department is able to provide. I think the thing that has evolved the least is kind of the scripts sometimes. Like there are times where working on stuff, I'm like, oh, I'm genuinely really excited to see what happens next. Like this next project I'm doing for Good Short, as I was reading it, I was like, oh, this is great. I'm like really enjoying reading this. But sometimes like you said, there's this reliance on these tropes that work. And I think some people want them and they perform well. But I think there is also like a craving, like it seems like you were kind of saying, for something more novel and more nuanced.
Yeah, you know, when you started early watching verticals like I did, for example, and I know a lot of other people who started really early watching verticals. If you compare the storylines from, let's say, early 2024 to 2025, they changed so many things in it. You know, there were so many shows in 2024 which were really a big hit. You know, my first one I saw, for example, was The Double Life of My Billionaire Husband with Jared Harper and Molly Anderson was in it. It was a big one on Real Short. And later they had, for example, Breaking the Ice and stuff like that. All shows which hit very, very well and were in the storyline so much. Aline from Isle of Verticals call it always cozier to watch because there was not so much violence in it. There was not so much kidnapping, raping, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And the shows went also well. You know, for me, it's kind of not understandable when you hear from the platforms, yeah, we need kind of this shock value to get the audience. No, you don't, because shows in the early 2024 exactly showed that it's not needed to get a hit.
Got. Yeah.
And if you are starting watching early, you know, after 1 year, 1.5, the story started to repeat. There are so many verticals, I can tell you exactly after watching the first 5 episodes how the storyline will go on. And that's
Yeah.
not entertaining. That's why a bunch of people is craving for new types of verticals now. I understand that there is always, as you said, also new actors try to hit the market now that there are more let's say, common, the verticals, and also new audience hits the market every time. So it's okay to produce this classic stuff for the kind of new audience, but I think there is a change needed that this older audience gets new kind of entertaining. So that's the reason why I, for example, I'm so curious for these two pirate verticals who were shot lately, because it's a total new genre. And I spoke with Nick Ritacco lately, and I said, Nick, tell me, is there anything seems like a banquet scene or stuff in this pirate shoot? And he said, no, I can tell you
Thank
nothing
God.
like a banquet scene. And I said, oh, holy, thanks so much. Because
Yeah,
lately
I don't,
there have
yeah.
been so many verticals with 40 episodes. Banquet scene? Holy crap.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's like, I know it's not the most fun to watch for us making it. It's not the most fun to make because, you know, for the actors, we're standing in the same place, sometimes repeating the same thing over and over. The director understands it's a little less dynamic than some of the other stuff
So
they're doing.
why are you doing it? Because there is, I don't understand how this script writer can make money out of only one question. Is it him or her, or is she a fraud? And that's the whole storyline in the complete
Yeah.
vertical, where you can fix it with showing the ID in 5 seconds and this case is
Yeah.
solved.
A lot of times it's like a world famous person. It's like a Google images maybe. And
Yes.
sometimes they go, oh, they always wear a mask or no one's ever seen them. But it's still, yeah, yeah,
Sorry,
it's
but
rough.
no.
No, this we all talk about it. You know, I say like I'm just want to get to the point where I can read a script and see if there's a banquet scene or not. And if there is a really long one, just go, yeah, I don't want to do this because it really, you know, it's
And
such a
imagine it
simple
for
fun.
women standing in heels.
No, I
This
know.
whole
Yeah.
banquet shoot.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes the women are like freezing cold and in heels, and sometimes the guys are in three-piece suits and it's really hot. So we take turns of who kind of
So for everyone, it's
gets
shit.
the bad luck.
Let's
Yeah.
call it shit for
Yeah, we
everyone.
make it even, exactly. But you spoke about the pirate thing, or the, you know, pirate genre potentially coming online. I feel like throughout what I've seen of verticals, but that whenever a new genre or a new type of storyline comes about, and if it's successful, then it's repeated a lot. You know, it
I
becomes
know
a
a lot, a
staple
lot.
of the thing. Yeah, you know, okay, hockey is cool. All right, we're gonna make 500 hockey shows.
Cooking verticals. Yeah, let's do
Yeah,
50.
exactly. I'm interested by the fact that there's so many like boxing and MMA type projects coming about.
Have you done a sportive vertical lately? Or one of the cooking ones? Or one of the. What was also a big bunch of the stepbrother, stepsister love story ones.
I have not. I think I'm at this point more of this stepdad or, you know, uncle or
Mother
whatever.
prof, have you done a
Yeah.
prof one?
I have played a professor. Yes. That was a fun one.
Because I
That one
couldn't watch the
actually.
professor stuff because for me it's so weird to watch this. When you are a professor in real life, it's kind of weird to watch
Yeah.
this
You're
prof
like
student
this wouldn't
stories.
happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big thing I had to kind of accept at a certain point. Even like with the scripts and the dialogue, I'm like, this doesn't seem like something someone would really say or really do. And it's like, well, this isn't real, you know, this is fantasy,
Fixed,
you know.
yeah.
So but I did play a professor. It wasn't the main storyline. It was basically like an age gap romance where the female was a bit older and going back to college and dating a student, a male student. And I played the professor who knew her from when we were in college back in the day. I
Professor
ended up
for
being
what? What did you teach?
economics. I taught economics. Yeah. But that was a really fun one. I'm blanking on the title now too. But it was
It's
really cool
fine.
because one of the subplots of it was these two female students that at first didn't get along, but then ended up falling in love with each other. And it was like just a really sweet romance. And I said it was the most I've ever rooted for a relationship to work in verticals. And a
Yeah,
lot of
that's
people
so
messaged me.
less. That's so less. I talked lately to, with a bunch of also I spoke with another podcast people about the cultural difference because she was is or is from Korea, and we spoke about the cultural differences in verticals. And she told me then when I was asking her what she wishes for in the vertical, and she told me that she would love to see more verticals where the leads are fighting for the partnership or for the marriage, and that they are equal in this partnership, and not every time there is a dominant person and a devoted person, and one person tells the other what she or he has to do. So that would be so nice, as you say, that you can see they are backing up each other, they are fighting for each other, they fight for the relationship, but that's so less in the stories. Why?
Yeah, and even for gay women, there's less stories about that where that's like the main plot. Like there's starting to be more and more verticals for queer men.
Yeah.
At least from what I've, you know, I so to be honest, I don't really watch verticals. Like I don't watch them all the way through. Even
No.
the ones, I've done, I've barely seen like most of the ones I've done. Every once in a
Why?
while, there'll be like a viewing party. Partially because I feel like, not like it, just like I did that, and that's for someone else. You know what I mean? They can enjoy it and take it as it is. My part of this process is done now in a way. Partially too, just because there's so many like classic films that I'm still catching up on. Like things that are in that IMDb top 250 or whatever. I'm like, I got to see all the films that some of my favorite directors and actors talk about.
Does someone
But
of
I
your
also,
family
I like,
watch your verticals?
so they're always asking, but I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what app it's coming out on, especially the ones in China. But even when I do, sometimes I'm like, well, I'm not necessarily gonna ask you to sign up for a platform that you're not going to watch anything else. You're only trying to watch the one specific thing I'm doing. So the main ones I've watched is we've had like some sort of viewing party. And then with You Drive Me Crazy, I felt like it was such a good experience. And I, because it was a little bit more nuanced and stuff, I was
Yeah.
interested to see how it came
How it
out.
turned out, yeah.
But because I have so many friends in the industry, both filmmakers, directors, and actors and stuff, I'm always seeing like teasing of
Yeah.
certain.
Yeah.
So I'm like aware of where the industry's at. I just don't personally, I don't watch, like I said, even the ones I'm in. But I've noticed that there are more, it seems like, male queer stories, but not so many female.
I think only Christine K. Larson did lately one.
I just worked with
But
Christine at the end of last year. Christine had done one, but
I think it was
I
the only
think
one.
a lot of audience are, from what I've seen, sort of asking for just more representation across different,
Yeah, and I don't
demographics
understand,
and
to be
everything.
honest. There were lately, I think, one or two verticals with no billionaire in it. It was a color worker. Nick
What?
Westaway did one where he was a simple color worker, you know?
Yeah.
And the story didn't need this billionaire, super rich.
Well, I think I was thinking this before. It seems that the two basic storylines that verticals were sort of based on to begin with was sort of this fantasy romance, like erotica novels, right? And 50 Shades of Grey. And 80% of maybe less now because they have expanded into, but like 60% of the storylines have some kind of basis in those type of things. So I think we just need different source material, you know?
You know, always there is a proposal in a vertical. Maybe at, let's say, the 60%, someone is pregnant at the end. Someone is maybe kind of abandoned stepdaughter or stuff like that, who
Yeah,
needs a
hidden
hero.
heiress.
Yeah, hidden heiress, for example.
Yeah.
Also, who needs a hero to pick her up to get back to the old glory, or it's something with someone is deeply ill and someone needs the money to pay the medical bills.
Yep. There's also, I've noticed, because I've played a decent amount of antagonists. Like I play a lot of the romantic lead, but also the antagonist.
I love you more as the antagonist, to be honest.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to do both. You know, it keeps it fresh. Sometimes I go, I'm just so tired of yelling at women because it's like half of what it's like. Well, I'm just like calling someone a housewife again. Jeez. But I've been in multiple storylines where the female lead like hides who she is,
Yeah.
and then like for 15 years or something, like just to get revenge or just to like, it's like I did this for you, but it's like in any kind of functional relationship, you should be honest with the person you're with. Like just say I'm this person, and you know what I mean? Like let
It's the
things
same
come up.
when two people get married, some of them, one of them gets abroad and comes back 3 years later and they don't even recognize each other again. What's wrong with them?
Yeah.
Eh?
Anyways,
You know,
as we,
that's a
oh,
classic shit.
I forget if it was someone who was speaking with you, and I forget the actor's name, but he was talking about sort of the origins of short dramas in China, and that initially they were a little bit more male-based. And
Yep.
then in the US, it's been more female based. But I have noticed this year specifically, more and more, you know, breakdowns where it's like the audition opportunity or if something comes my way, it's like the main character, the protagonist, is a male character, as opposed to where 99.99% of the ones I've ever done or even seen. It's always the female is like number one on the call sheet. She's the protagonist. It's sort of her story. And that's starting to shift a little bit. So that's interesting too, of opening it up, you know, to more, not that men need more male-centric things, but for me, you know, as an actor,
I want to
it's
see
interesting.
more powerful ladies, you know? We have so
Yeah.
much storylines where, or so many storylines where the women are always weak. And without a man in her lives, they cannot survive.
Well, that's why I consider myself a feminist because I'm always in the stories with like the really strong ladies, and I always find out that they're getting paid a little bit more than me, and I'm like, you know what? I'm here
Oh.
for it. I'm happy for you. That's
I
cool.
have a sugar mama now.
But yeah, you know, like I hear so many times like, oh, the male actors are getting paid so much more. I'm like, well, I'm not. So clearly, I'm on the right side of history.
Was there ever a role you was a bit sad when the shooting was over because you really liked the role?
You know, with verticals, it's you don't get to live with the role as long as maybe a feature. Even on a feature where you might only film for 5 or 10 days or something like that, you might have like months of prep and stuff like that. So I've never been sad about, oh, I don't get to play this character anymore. There have been characters that I, you know, enjoyed playing more than others. But you asked the question, am I ever sad when a production's done? It's not because of the car I don't get to play the character anymore. It's I don't get to be around this group of people anymore. Especially, you
Okay.
know, these are shot so fast that it's sometimes by day 3 or 4 is when you start to like click and connect and have deeper conversations with your friends at lunch or, you know, where you get to know people better. It just takes a little bit of time. And then all of a sudden, day 8 comes or day 7, now that they're getting shorter, And it's over. And you got to go, oh, well, I hope I see you again soon. So there have been several times where I'm like, oh, I would love to keep working with these people for months. You know, this was a great team we've assembled, both cast and crew and producers and everyone involved. It's like, I would love to keep doing this,
So
but
you would be a fan of serial verticals?
I definitely 100%. To me, it doesn't make sense there haven't been more of them. I know there's been
Only on
a
Candy
few.
Jar.
What's that, a candy jar? I know I keep hearing such amazing things about them,
Candy Jar is based in Germany.
both from audience and actors involved. But yeah, so I think it's so new that there's room for improvement, right? With everything in
Absolutely.
the world. But it's some of the issues are starting to get addressed, it seems. And I
Yeah.
would love the idea of serial dramas
Candy
where it's
Jar,
like,
there was only Alta TV where the second part was published from Falling for a Superstar with Jackson Tiller and Ashley Michelle Grant. That was the only other platform which dropped the part two. All the other serial ones were only on Candy Jar. There were a lot of shows with part one, part two, around about 40 episodes per part. And you know why you want to know why I like Candy Jar so much? Because
I
every
do.
vertical they're shooting is the storyline based on a book. And that makes the storyline so good.
Yeah, so often I'll even see a television show or a film, and I'm like, that was a really good script. And it goes, based on the novel by, and I'm like, oh, yep, makes sense.
So
Because you can
when
do
you
so much
can go
more.
to Candy Jar, do it. Candy Jar and
Yeah.
Drama Pops, Ben.
I know. I've been in contact with them a little bit and telling them I've heard such great things and I want to be involved. So
Yeah, every one of
we'll
your
see. I'm
colleagues
sure we'll see.
I spoke with who shot for Drama Pops and Candy Jar or Igloo, they were really proud of this shooting and said, I'm really proud of what we did there lately. And all the shows are so good in quality, really. And I
Yeah.
really like it that these kind of platforms are willing to take risk for new storylines, you know?
Yeah, I think you have to, right? Like it takes someone to diverge from the crowd for there to be some
Yeah.
growth and new opportunity. And that's, like I said, once someone's successful in it, everyone else goes, oh, that's great. And that happens even in mainstream media where, okay, Barbie was successful, so we need to make more films about toys or
Here in
something,
Germany, it was the same
or
thing.
video games.
Sounds stupid, but with t cooking shows in TV. We had a lot. I cooked a few times in cooking shows here in TV. And I got invited every time when a new show dropped. And I was so, what again? A cooking show again?
Like
Again?
reality based, like reality cooking shows where you're cooking live. Yeah.
It was kind of. The old dog who died, which died lately, was I bought from my first prize money I won in a TV cooking show. Yeah, it
Amazing.
was the prize money lived with me for 40 years. No, it's mostly the concept is nearly the same. You get ingredients, and you have 10 or 15 minutes to decide what kind of maybe three-part meal you're gonna cook in a
Yeah.
time you get for that. And then in the end there are two star chefs as judges who taste the meals but not knowing who cooked which meal,
Right.
and then they decide who will win. And sometimes in some TV shows you can use the money to buy you in the next round and cook again for more prize money.
Or you can buy a dog.
Or you can go home with the money and buy
Yeah.
nice things.
Yeah. I mean, food, right? It's like such a universal thing.
Let me ask you one thing about food. I was told a few times, sometimes on set, the food is so la la. Sometimes the food is really great. What is needed on set that you feel really comfortable and good? Also good food?
Like for lunch, you're saying what is needed in terms of
What
food?
makes you comfortable on set? Is it also that you have good food and
It
great
definitely
food
makes a
on set?
difference. Absolutely. I think, there's sometimes when there's a smaller cast or crew, they're able to, do makes like order or have some better food. When it's a lot of people, I understand it gets more expensive and stuff. But yeah, that's actually it's definitely a huge factor. If you're eating good at lunch every time, usually that's not the only thing that the production company is doing right. Right? Like it's part of what they're doing right. Like it's normally not a mess, it's chaos on set and then they have great lunch, right? They usually go hand in hand. Like usually it's calm and it's well run and everybody's sort of on the same page and supportive of each other. And then also there's a great meal. And it does make a difference for sure. You go, oh, I want to work with that team again. Cause for 7 or 8 days you're eating one or two meals a day with together. So it definitely makes a big difference. I know that as a producer that, sometimes even if your budget is low and this is the maximum you can pay everybody. As long as everybody has like a really good lunch experience, it's going to make them a little bit like it makes you feel more appreciated,
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Soul food. Are you the Celsius type? Every time I see some BTS pictures, there's somewhere every time a
I
Celsius.
am for those long days. Especially after lunch. If lunch is good, I'm eating a lot of it and then I'm a little tired afterwards. So
And
it's a
then the
nice
shirtless scene.
pick. Yeah. Well, then you gotta skip lunch and but yeah, it is a useful tool, sometimes, especially if it's a banquet scene or just long scenes or stuff where you're on your feet a lot. It's definitely helpful to have a Celsius
No,
in
you
the
cannot get
chamber.
here in Europe. So I haven't tried it. You cannot get it here.
They're not. I think they're starting to be available in the UK. So,
UK is out of
I
the
could be
European
mistaken.
Union, you know.
True, true. Yeah, I think one of my castmates on this recent shoot in China, she's based in the UK. I think she was saying that they're a thing there too.
What type of scenes do you like to shoot in a vertical? Action scenes, shirtless scenes, showering scenes. Okay, banquet scenes not. Okay. What type of scenes do you like?
Action scenes are really fun for me. I really love doing some stunts, fight choreography and because it's like a dance. You're building it like a dance. And so all of that stuff's really fun. Anytime I can be doing something, because a lot of times, in verticals, you're standing there and you're talking. And you're a little bit limited in how much you can move left or right so whenever I can be writing a letter or pouring a cup of coffee or just little stuff like that where it's like give me something to do, it helps because then you're not acting anymore. You're pouring a cup of coffee, right? And so I always look for anytime I'm always talking with the production design team and the prop department and going, hey, can I have like some files to sign or something to do? I like, one of my best shower scenes ever was just, it was at the end of a production and I just got to take a nice hot shower and I had like hair dye in as well and stuff. So I was like, oh, this is so nice. And they were like, all right, scene's done. I'm like, give me 5 more minutes because it's just like nice to have a nice hot shower. I like the romantic scenes. Like intimacy is a different thing, but like those scenes where there's like a genuine connection between the two characters.
Have you ever had the situation that it doesn't cl that it didn't click with your
Like
co-partner?
there wasn't so much chemistry or something? No, honestly,
Because
I haven't had
sometimes you
that.
see it. You see it so badly sometimes.
Yeah, I think I've been fortunate with
Okay.
the actors I've been paired up with.
Good.
Yeah, we were always able to find kind of something,
Connection.
deeper and more connected through it. I like this, it takes a lot out of me, but filming the scenes when I'm the antagonist and they kind of have their full-on freak out, or they're like, I've for the mafia ones, like I've got you at gunpoint and now I'm gonna tell you the whole plot, like kind of that Bond villain type stuff. That's fun. Whenever I can be kind of free, both like physically and emotionally, if that makes sense, where it's not like, hey, this is the very specific note we need to hit. We need you to stand here and say this. If it's more like, hey, if you want to sit, you can sit. If you don't,
More
and
flexible, if you can be flexible.
yeah, that to me is, I feel like I'm more in the scene, and able to be more present and alive, for the good of the scene.
I want to ask one last question before I ask you the typical five question quickie I'm asking every time. Was there, I mean, you said nearly 40 verticals right now. Was there any shooting you thought after the shooting, what the heck was that? Because it turned out to be kind of surprising in a good or a bad way that you hadn't expected it.
I don't think I've been extremely surprised by how something turned out. But I will say one time I had this group of friends, close group of friends of mine, and they were always asking, when can I see something that you did? I'd always been like, well, I don't know. I like you would have to download this app and this and that. And they're like, no, well, we want to watch it with you. And so I never really knew how to introduce them to it. And so I ended up getting, like the full version of one of the verticals I did. And it was broken down by episodes, but I was like, hey, we can, put this on a TV and watch it together. I have the files to do that. And so we did that, and I've never heard my friends laugh louder. Like they had such a fun time watching this. And part of it is that cringe thing or the and it just really opened my eyes to part of maybe the reason some people are watching these. It's not to take everything so seriously. It's actually, when these super extreme plot lines and dialogue lines come out, it's pretty hilarious. And so I didn't re realize fully until that moment that we are making some of the best comedy out right now. And it starts with the wild title. Like,
Oh,
it's actually
yes.
really funny,
The titles are so silly.
So that opened me up to the idea that, the more dramatic and serious you take it as an actor or performer and as a filmmaker's allows it to be hilarious to the audience. So that was eye-opening.
Yeah, sometimes when there is a vertical, I don't know if you were ever in this situation, but sometimes you know exactly, okay, the script was AI translated, the sentence doesn't make any sense anymore, but the producer or the platform wanted to have the actor saying exact the lines which were translated, and you're sitting in front of that, so what the heck?
Yeah.
And this person should be a lawyer or whatever. What? And he's talking such a nonsense. No. That's
Yeah.
kind of ridiculous sometimes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes the directors, producers, platforms rely a little bit on the actors to like, hey, if that doesn't sound, proper, if it's not proper English or something, like how, we're a helpful part of that because we're kind of the final step before we say it out loud. So we don't want to sound insane saying something. But every once in a while, like the line's written, I'm like, this is so wild that I'm gonna say it exactly like this because it just sounds so funny.
Yeah, so I see you would be open for a parody about making verticals.
For sure. But that I similar friend group, one of the guys I was watching it with, I mentioned, I'm like, oh, there's so much room to parody these. And he's like, they're kind of already a parody of something. You know what I mean? They're
Yeah.
already so like, usually in a parody, you go more ridiculous. It's like it's already at 100% ridiculousness. So it's almost hard to, top that and do a parody of it because it's already sort of a parody of something else in itself in a way.
I would have
Some of
even
them,
ideas
some of the more
for
extreme
doing
ones.
a parody out of it. Yeah, we will see. I'm hoping that there will be a bit more comedy and parody maybe. In
That's
Vertica
yeah, I
Space,
love
we have
doing.
enough drama, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's in the title for half of the companies. But yeah, I love doing comedy stuff. And sometimes, that's a note I've gotten where I'm playing the bad guy and I'm doing it in a little bit of like a silly or over the top way. It's like, you can be funny, but not that funny. The audience needs to hate you. And I'm like,
Oh,
okay.
okay.
Yeah. Luckily,
Well,
I have a hateable face, but my personality is pretty
but you
decent.
have
So,
a hateable face.
yeah,
Who told
I've
you
heard this my
that?
whole life. It's a gift. I don't know. It's a
You
blessing
have
and a
a
curse.
hateable face.
Yeah, people are just like, I don't know. I just
Is
want to
that a
punch it.
compliment or not?
No, I don't think so. But
Okay.
it works. It works for verticals.
Okay, that's definitely a plus. That's definitely a plus. Yeah. Ben, at the end of every episode, I'm asking a 5-question quickie. I love to cook. I published a cookbook. I love to judge people by food. So, what's your favorite dish? Can you cook?
I can cook. I can do the basics. With time and a specific recipe, I can usually pull it off. I'm gonna say it's a three-way tie between sushi, a great steak, and pizza.
Okay, everyone who says pizza, I'm asking pineapples on pizza, yes or no?
Most of the time, no. I'm not like insanely opposed to it, but and I grew up in New York, so a lot of great pizza spots. So usually I'll go with like some pizza, some penne alla vodka, and like a buffalo chicken roll. Like there's a specific place, it's called La Piazza. Fantastic establishment. That's like my main order. So it's not just the pizza. I usually get like a grandma slice and a regular slice and then maybe a pepperoni slice, but also get those sides as well, like some penne alla vodka and a buffalo chicken roll. Very good.
I haven't eaten anything in this evening. That was a shit question I have asked.
Now you're hungry?
Yeah.
Well, there's a spot in Brooklyn called Artichoke.
Zupa
They're
in Brooklyn. It's a bit far
famous.
from
Well,
here
no, I'm not
now.
saying order it now. I'm just saying I have to give them credit. Like they're famous for like they have an artichoke slice, which is good, but it's very like creamy and filling. But they have a penne alla vodka slice that is literally, it's just the most delicious bite of food I've ever had in my life. It's perfect.
You
So if
love
you're
to
ever in
torture
Brooklyn, look it
people,
up.
aren't you?
What's that?
You love to torture people, aren't you?
No, I'm just saying, you asked the question. I'm just answering it honestly.
Yes. It was a shit question. Pizza. Yeah. But if you ever go to Italy, no pineapples on the pizza. They will throw you immediately out of the
No.
country.
And no ketchup on the spaghetti either.
Who eats
No,
ketchup
I
on
would
the
never do that. I'm
spaghetti?
Italian. I'm
Hello?
Italian. I'm Italian. I would never do
Who
that.
eats ketchup on the spaghetti? What's that shit?
It's similar to disrespectful to Italians.
I've never done this. I haven't even thought
Neither have
about
I, and
stuff like
I never
that.
would, but people do it.
Really?
I
What's
think
wrong with
so.
these people?
I don't know, they're crazy.
No. I grow and harvest my own tomatoes in my garden. I have a 1,000 square feet garden here. I'm cooking my own tomato sauce and preserve it for the winter. That's much
Homemade
more
tomatoes
better
are
than
so much better.
ketchup. Oh, yes. So, second question. You said that you love to watch movies. Do you have a comfort movie you rewatched 1,000 times? Or maybe a childhood movie you really liked?
Yeah, I have a few, I guess. One I was thinking of watching the other day. It's called Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. It's with John C. Reilly. It's a parody of musical biographies.
I don't know this.
It's just really funny. Anything with Will Ferrell is kind of comfort for me. Growing up, one of the biggest movies like my whole family would watch was My Cousin Vinny with Joe Pesci. And then I'd say like one of the so the two films I've probably seen the most are kind of very different, but Interstellar, it's great. It's just a great film. And then Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is another favorite of mine. You don't know any of these, huh? What's your comfort movie? My Billionaire's Ex-Brothers, Dad's Mother's
No.
Sister's, My Twin.
No. No. Comfort movie. I love the movie Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. I
Okay.
rewatch that so often.
If you build it, they will come.
I love that movie. I really love that. And I rewatched Titanic a few times. Because when Titanic dropped in cinema, at that time I was in Paris. And I saw it in the cinema with the first Dolby surround system. And the cinema in Paris was so huge, they had the 200 degrees. You had the feeling you were sinking with the ship
Oh shit.
watching. It was so great. Yeah.
Actually just watched it recently while I was in China. The hotel I was staying at, it was one of the movies that was like available to watch.
Titanic or
And so
what?
I just threw it on thinking I'll start it. Obviously watch the whole thing. But my hot take is it's a better movie before the boat crashes.
Yeah, true. No,
Yeah, I think
I
once
don't
the
know. Maybe I liked it so much because I rewatched it in a German cinema when I came back from Paris. It was not nearly the same, to be honest. But in
Well,
this
that's what I was
cinema
thinking
in
about.
Paris, holy crap. That was so
There's
good.
that. There's something about that experience of seeing it in a theater, you know, when it's brand new and you have no idea what to expect. That's why I love not even watching the trailers of the films I'm going to go see, because I want everything to be completely fresh and new and exciting. And it happens over and over again where I'll see a movie in theaters. I'm like, it's a perfect movie, and then I'll see it again at home, and I'm like, it's really, really good. It's great. I really like it, but there was something about that experience seeing it.
And you know which movie I also liked, but it's not so old. It was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
Because I
So
love the Queen songs.
the movie I was talking about, the Walk Hard, the story of, I think it's The Legend of Dewey Cox or The Story of Dewey Cox. Anyways, this came out shortly after the Walk the Line came out. With Joaquin Phoenix playing Johnny Cash, and it just kind of destroyed, like it destroyed music bios for me, because every one that's come out since I've seen that, it follows the exact same structure as this, but it's a parody of it. So I go in, I'm like, this parody movie just did it better.
Have you
So I don't
seen
know. Hopefully,
Bohemian
some of your,
Rhapsody?
what's that?
Have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody?
I have,
I
and
really liked it.
it's one of the better ones, I would say.
Oh, the other one I really liked of this music biographies was Rocket Man with
Yeah, I
Elton
think both of
John.
those were fun. I saw both of those on the plane, which, you know, it's not the best place to see things, but I'm trying to think of my favorite music biography.
I saw also the one Yellow Submarine, but that was so shit. The one I also like my music biography was the one with Whitney Houston, which dropped 2 years ago.
I
That's
haven't
with
seen that one.
somebody. That was
I saw
so
the
good.
documentary about her, but I didn't see the one.
There was
There was
a
kind of a
music
cool one
biography.
about Jimi Hendrix starring Andre 3000 from Outkast. That was pretty good because it took a sort of a different approach. I don't know. There are some that are good.
Yeah,
Anyways.
sometimes when I spoke with Jeff Violette, you know what we both kind of movie liked? Because it was in our childhood. It was Free Willy.
Free Willy. Yeah, it's definitely part of the childhood. I just remember mostly the Michael Jackson song
Yeah.
and
And
Michael
when he's standing
Madsen.
on the stone wall and said, "Jump,
Of course.
Willy." Yeah, that
Yeah, and
was
Michael
Jeff's my
Madsen being
favorite
like,
part.
being like the, excuse me, maybe like the mean stepdad at first, but then he like comes around. And that's some of my favorite characters to play is someone with a redemption story where at first you don't like them. And you're like, oh, this guy or this girl, they suck. They're selfish. They're this that. And then at the end, they sacrifice themselves for the,
And you are
for the
everyone's
team or for
darling at the end.
whoever. And it's like, oh, they actually were a good person the whole time. It's just they were misunderstood.
Oh, they misunderstood. Okay, so music biographies. What type of music do you like?
It's definitely changed over the years. When I was a young man, maybe in like high school, it was a lot of hip hop, mostly. Before that, pop and whatever my parents listened to, some Beatles and Billy Joel and stuff like that. But I got real into classic rock when I was in college, and then also moving to LA. Some more like Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stones. Also like some EDM, some chill beats I'm cool with. So it's kind of all over the place. I usually when I'm listening to music in my car, let's say, I'll just put on my liked songs and shuffle it, and so it'll be pretty all over the place, which I know some people think is weird. They're like, you need a playlist with. I'm like, nah, I like to be surprised.
Do some carpool karaoke.
Again, not the biggest karaoke guy.
Not even sing under a shower when you
The
shower.
shower, obviously. I feel like it's part of the thing,
That the soap was.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. What's a typical song you sing while showering?
I like a lot of the like 50s and 60s love songs by like I don't know, like the Temptations or
Kind of Elvis Presley love song, so what?
some of his songs he stole from other groups like the Righteous Brothers or whatever. But yeah, those type of songs, or like
Huh.
maybe some Frank Sinatra or something.
I didn't expect that, to be honest, from you.
Yeah, I got real into like it's funny like each as I get older, just like different genres of music. I'm like, oh, I've been missing out like 70s soul music. Fantastic, Marvin Gaye and Otis Redding and stuff like that. And then I for a long time I was like, you know what, the 80s was not a great decade for music. And now for the last couple
It
years I've been like,
was.
oh shit, there's so many great
We have
songs
here in
from it.
Germany a radio station which plays only rock songs from the 80s. That's so
So
great.
I think there's some great rock from the 80s, but there's also like that kind of new wave, sort of like Talking Heads type stuff, or like I forget the band, but like Goodbye Horses is like a great
We
song. It
had
was
in
like,
Germany, it was called Neue Deutsche Welle, New German Wave music, with Nena and 99 Balloons and stuff like that. It's
yeah.
so crazy. Yeah, but it's kind of that's a really good couple karaoke music. when you're driving to sing along. Like
So
ABBA, also like all the ABBA songs.
now I'm pretty much a fan of like every generation of music. I listen to classical music sometimes. I listen to meditation type music.
Can you
And
play
then
a
even,
music instrument? Can you
do I
play
play?
in
Not really. I'm sitting at a piano or like a keyboard right now. It's just the spot with the best lighting. But I fiddle around a little bit, but no, I wish I played guitar and piano more often, but I do not.
Oh. Okay. So, last two questions, Ben. First one, if I would come to you and say, Ben, I've never watched any verticals, which one of yours should I have definitely have watched?
I would say to you, thank you for wanting to watch some of my stuff. You Drive Me Crazy, I think, is a really nice one. It's like it's sweet, it's pretty wholesome.
It's unreal short, just
Yes.
as information for people who haven't seen it and want to watch it.
Yes, correct. My Big Bad Husband was a fun one. It was one of the first sort of romantic, like fully just romantic comedy lead type of character I played. I'm not 100% positive what platform that is on, but I'm sure you can find it. My Big Bad Husband. I did one where I played like a bad guy mafia guy. I'm trying to remember the title. I'm like you. Sometimes the titles elude me because I've done so many, and it's funny. I'll watch interviews with actors who have been, acting for 20 years, and they're like, their memory of their films are so good, but it's like, okay, well, you were only doing two or three a year.
Yeah, it's
You
not the
weren't doing
bunch
20.
like
It
you
makes
did in 2 years.
it harder. I think it's called Kidnapped by the Mafia. Frankie Camerato is the lead, and Rosa Singman, I believe is her last name. I'm friend. It's just friend of mine. I can't remember her last name right now. But they're the two leads. I play just like a bad guy that comes in
I played just a bad
halfway through.
guy.
Well, no, but I'm just saying that, I don't come in until page like 50 or something, but then I come in and I really fuck shit up and throw off the whole plot
You
line,
come
and
in with the big drama, you want to say.
yeah, come in with the big drama.
Huh.
The big drama.
The
And
big bad
yeah, it is fun.
drama
I get to
boy.
really I read I get to really go off. And that was one of those ones where I mentioned just being free in your movement and stuff like that. Talking to the director and the DP, they were like, yo, we're just gonna have two cameras handheld on you, so walk through the space, you can move in and out, you just do whatever you want, and we'll be catching it. So that was really fun. So that's good guy versus bad guy stuff, I guess those would be.
Okay, that's good. So last question. We spoke a bit about it earlier. Which genre you wanna see more on you in vertical space? What do you think would be great for verticals
I
in
think more
general?
comedy. I think there's a lot of room. I think there's a lot of really talented comedic actors that are doing these, that have their moments and have scenes where they're able to be funny and silly and really sell the humor of it. But I think one that was, more throughout the show was comedic. I know that's tough. Sometimes comedy is tough to translate internationally,
Yeah.
certain idioms or phrases are tough to translate, but I do think I'd love to see some more comedy. I'd love to see more westerns. I think that could be a really cool genre, and it kind of makes sense. And at
Maybe
least,
the for Danny Farber lately shot one, an old Western style one. Maybe that will be a hit and then you get more.
yeah, I just feel like, instead of fancy cars and stuff like that, like horses and
Can you ride a horse?
I can ride a horse. Yeah, I
Okay.
haven't in a little while. I
I
don't know
think
if I can
that's
go
like riding
full
a
clip,
bicycle.
full
You never
gallop,
forget.
but yeah, when I was a kid, I used to ride horses a bit. Not
Okay.
a ton, but yeah, my aunt, the same aunt who I mentioned earlier, maybe before recording, who raises guide dogs, for blind people or amputees. She also used to work at a camp that she was like the horse lady, I guess. She was the horse wrangler. She would help like young kids learn how to ride a horse.
Okay, so you would be ready for a Western one.
I'd be ready for a Western. I did, it wasn't a vertical, but a TV show called Wild West Chronicles. And actually, a lot of vertical actors have also done this TV show because it's shot here in LA and it's non-union. But yeah, that was one of my favorite performances I ever did. It was just it's really cool. Once you're in the costume of like that old Wild West stuff, I don't know, you're in thick, heavy boots. You just start moving different. So yeah, I'd love more like period pieces, comedy, more action where it's not just, some simple fight scenes, but like maybe some more intense like chase scenes and stuff like that. I know I've seen some of
Something
it.
like Fast and Furious, for example.
Fast and the Furious, yeah, maybe some more driving stunts. Yeah, like I said, there's been more MMA and boxing stuff, but I personally would love to do, a boxing movie. I remember my first day of acting school. One of my first teachers, he looked at me and goes, you look like you should play a boxer. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I've been trying to ever since. So yeah, comedy, action, because we have romance, right? Like that's pretty well
Yeah,
explored at this
but
point.
to be honest, a bit more rom-com would be also nice.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I recommended My Big Bad Husband, because despite some of the sort of typical vertical elements, it reads very much like a romantic comedy where there's, some misunderstandings and stuff like that. I think sci-fi could do really well in this space too. It's just a matter of figuring out what that is. Because let's say they have
Space
a
shuttle
romance in
stuff.
space or something, like just so you just gotta rent out a spaceship for a little while.
More, why not?
Yeah, I mean,
We will
my
see.
favorite genre of films are kind of those films that aren't easily defined as one genre, but kind of like a dark comedy that has humorous elements, but it's, a little messed up,
With a lot
with
of
some action in
sarcasm
it, with some
and
romance, with some, kind of all the elements combined. Those are my favorite type of movies, where it's a little
yeah,
bit of
we will
everything.
see what 2026 has in the pipeline. I think
Yeah,
there
I'm
will be
excited.
a few changes, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, it
Opening up
seems
new
like,
markets and stuff
yeah,
like
how
that.
Hollywood, mainstream media, and just people in general are taking notice. So I think it's a really exciting time, and we'll see what
So
happens. It's still so
maybe you will
early.
shoot your first vertical in Europe this year.
Fingers crossed. Let's go. I think it'll happen. I'm manifesting it. I want to do Turkey, Germany, UK, Mexico
I'm working
City.
on it that Germany will be good because the first casting calls were only for people under 30 and influencers with a big follower range.
That's usually how it
And they
starts.
want to shoot it in German.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Yeah, I'm on it. I got also connected to some production companies in Berlin. Maybe I can do a bit, connection stuff for Candy Jar. Production company. I'm on it. We will see.
Well, I'm
We
glad
will
we have
see.
you on it. I'm glad we have you on it.
Ben, thank you so much for your time. Was a pleasure talking to you after a few months.
Yeah,
Just kidding.
no, it was
Just
my
kidding.
pleasure. I'm sorry it took so long, but I'm really glad
People
we
are
got to
worth
make
to
this
wait,
happen.
you know?
Yeah, and I really enjoyed our whole conversation we had before we started rolling. It was great to, get to know you.
Absolutely. Thank you so, so much. I will send you the sound file with the correct pronunciation. Just kidding.
Please do, please do.
Then you
I need
can
to practice.
try to pronounce it correct. Okay,
Our
there is
follow-up interview.
one condition. You can only show up for a vertical shoot in Germany if you can pronounce my name correctly.
Deal.
Okay,
Done.
good.
I
Okay,
got
that's
you. I'm
recorded. That's
a quick
recorded,
learner.
Ben.
That's okay. Yeah, my last vertical project, I signed the contract. I had my flight booked to China, and right before I was leaving, they go, "Hey, by the way, do you speak sign language?" And I was like, "I don't, but I'm a quick learner." And I was fortunate enough, my the lead actress who I was working with, Mariah Boone, she speaks sign language, or she signs, so she was able to teach me each phrase. And she told me, she's like, "You actually really nailed it. You were very like clear and concise." So as long as I have a little bit of time to rehearse, figure it out, I'm gonna nail it, I
Okay.
promise.
I'll come back to you because of
Okay.
that. Thank you so much. Have a really nice weekend, Ben, and stay in contact. Bye.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was great to meet you. Have a great
Bye.
rest of the weekend.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.